You are now entering the positive programming zone. Tune in now for news, celebrity interviews, and expert advice. Positive programming for and about you. Inside Out with Tracy S. Campbell starts now.
Welcome to Inside Out with yours truly, Tracy S. Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us once again here. And this week, we have once again some very compelling guests, great information for you to actually use, as well as expert advice. Now, we're going to get it started this week with the Spotlight segment, and joining me there is author Nick Yaris. Nick is going to talk about his book, 7 Days to Live, and his story of survival after being falsely accused of 2 crimes that he did not commit and serving 20 years in prison for these crimes. An incredible story of his survival, as well as the great work he's doing right now to help young people value education and to help others who, like him, have been falsely accused of crime. So please do not miss my conversation with Nick Yaris. Also, we are joined this week once again by Renee Ritchie in our Nation of Inspiration segment. She's going to bring to you Barb Bailey. Barb Bailey is a very successful entertainment agent, but her story did not start out glamorous at all. She's going to tell us all about going from being an orphan to the successful businesswoman that she is today. And I'm going to tell you all about International Child-Centered Divorce Month. Now, I know that many of you may not even know what that is, and that's okay. We're going to explain it to you because the month of January is all about helping those who are going through the challenges of divorce get the information and support and help that they need, especially those who have children that they want to help transition through this challenging time in their lives. So we want to make sure we get that information to you. So make sure you grab a pen and paper to jot that information down. And our expert this week is Ms. Rosalyn Sadaka, answering those relationship and dating questions that you sent in to us. And Rosalyn is also an expert in child-centered divorce. So you do not want to miss the great information she's bringing to us this week. We're going to get it all started with Nick Yaris. We'll be right back.
With over 20 million one-parent homes in the U.S. today, it is a fact that kids and teens are growing up without a mom or dad, and unmarried parents are having to work longer and harder just to survive. These hard facts add to the mental and emotional stress for both adults and teens. The CHAMP Community Project, a 501c3 nonprofit organization, is on a mission nationwide and internationally to take the CHAMP Within program to areas where parents and teens can get the emotional support they need. Endorsed and supported by trained psychologists, and with marked success already in cities throughout the U.S. and in Nairobi, Kenya, this program will help you create the future you want and deserve. To find out more about this 5-week emotional, mental, and spiritual education, go to champcommunityproject.org. The CHAMP Community Project, an organization that is on a mission to bring a different education to teens and adults everywhere.
Welcome back to the show. Our very first guest that's joining us here today is what I call a true survival story. Now, we're in the day and age of reality TV, and we watch all these shows. Survivor is one of them, Amazing Race, all these shows that glamorize struggle and survival. Well, this is a person who truly went through hell and back. He was imprisoned for 20 years on charges of rape and murder, and he did not commit either crime. Through DNA testing, he was eventually cleared of these charges, but again, not after giving up 20 years of his life. During the course of that time, not only did he go through horrible experiences while being incarcerated, he experienced trauma prior to his incarceration, and he even at one point was in a cell right next to serial killer Ted Bundy. I can go on and on, but I'm going to have him tell you all about it in just a minute. And he is in the process of promoting his book where he candidly shares all of these things, and it's entitled 7 Days to Live. It is my sincere pleasure to introduce to you Nick Yaris. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Tracy. It's such an honor to speak to you personally.
Oh, wow. Well, the honor is all mine, sincerely. I just can't even imagine the things that you've seen in your life, things that many of us, those listening to this right now, myself included, we can't even wrap our minds around. And so I really want you, Nick, to just take this opportunity to share with us a little bit about your book, about your story, and what it is that really motivated you to put all of this down in a book.
My book, 7 Days to Live, encompasses my life from the age of 7 until the age of 42 when I was released from death row after 23 years of solitary confinement. It encompasses all of the tragedies that befell my life in early childhood, because I was a survivor of a terrible attack at the age of 7 by a young man in my neighborhood who beat my head in with a rock and left me with a brain disorder. I made it worse in the development of my youth by becoming an alcoholic and then eventually a drug addict. And by the time I was 17 and 19, I was destroyed. I was a mess. And the brain damage that was done to me from the attack, coupled with the emotional, crippling, underlying hatred that was seething in me as a young man, made me a terrible person to deal with. And I became a petty thief and a methamphetamine drug addict. I was arrested in the city of Chester in 1981 by a patrolman there after a traffic incident. The incident escalated. I was charged falsely with attempted murder and kidnapping of that police officer. And although I would be found not guilty of all those charges only a few months later, it would be while I was incarcerated for those charges, I would be falsely accused of the rape and murder of a woman I never met based on the confession that I allegedly made to another prisoner who was in the cell next to me for one night. I decided to write this book in 2007 when I felt like I had a mastery of enough of living post-release to have a valid point. I used all of the years of educating myself to work very hard so that I could write a book that was on its own taken as a good merit of effort for writing skills and an ability to take the reader on a journey that really opens them up to a different world. And I worked very hard at that. I'm grateful for the reviews I'm getting for this effort.
And rightfully so, Nick, your story is not only compelling, but it's something that should have never happened. You experienced tragedy at a very young age, and it just went from there. And we hope and pray that it will not happen to another young person. I know, Nick, that another thing that you're very passionate about is the whole idea around the decisions that we make, especially as young people. Can you elaborate a little bit on your stance on how important it is for our young people to make the right decision and what can happen if they make the wrong decision?
I think it goes hand in hand with trying really hard to get young people to understand how important their education is, because that is the step that precedes the wrong decision, the education of the person at hand. When I was 17 years old, I was so badly educated that I could barely write a coherent paragraph. And that's an embarrassment to myself, to my parents, and anybody I was representing. I worked very hard so I could make the choices easier for myself by educating myself. And that is the key to getting away from the stupid mistakes that we make as young people, is having enough sense beforehand to make the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm. I could not agree more. We are living in a day and age, as you well know, Nick, where even though we all know and understand the importance of education, we have a lot of young people that feel that if they can just get their 15 minutes of fame, that they can bypass education. They are so into social media and texting that they have gotten away from the power and the need to write well and to write complete sentences and complete thoughts and to really value writing as a need, as a gift, as a necessity. So I'm thankful that you are advocating the importance of education and the importance of writing.
The only thing that got me to handle 8,057 days of solitary confinement, being sentenced to death and being tortured for a long process, was the education I gave myself. And any young person out there that wants to think that I did it from some other magical means, it's not true. It was only because I worked tirelessly to educate myself that I could handle getting out of that situation and becoming a productive citizen. You don't get to that point just by having a 15 minutes of fame and then everybody loves you for who you are.
That's so true. And maybe it takes individuals like yourself, Nick, who survived what you survived and came out on the other side to hopefully be able to speak to more and more young people to get them to understand the value of education and the value of their freedoms and their liberties that we all take for granted each and every day. So again, I applaud you for not only surviving your ordeal, but coming out on the other side, being a true survivor and giving back to others. So I really do want to applaud you for that. We're going to pause the conversation right here so that we can take a little break and give you a little break as well. But we're going to be right back after this message to hear more from Nick Yaris and how he is using his experience to truly change the lives of others. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Inside Out with Tracy S. Campbell.
Tracy S. Campbell.
Positive Programming Radio. She came into the world as a ward of the state. Today, she is an accomplished star of film and television. She delivers a touching tribute to the amazing women who raised her and to the foster care system that made it possible. I was never meant to be raised by one mother, but by many. Victoria Rowell. What the critics are saying about the women who raised me. Rowell salutes her female mentors. The memoir, An Account of Rowell's Childhood in the Foster Care System and Beyond, is a testament to the women who guided her from birth. Miami Herald. The Women Who Raised Me, a memoir by Victoria Rowell. Now available in paperback from the Amistad Division on HarperCollins. Pick up a copy from your local bookstore or order from Amazon.com.
We're back and we are picking the conversation back up with our guest today in the spotlight segment with Nick Yaris. And for those who may be joining in for the first time today, we are talking to Nick Yaris, who has gone through 20 years of being imprisoned for crimes he did not commit, rape and murder. It was only through the use of DNA testing that he was cleared. And now Nick is on the other side, helping bring awareness to this issue and to help others. Thank you so much, Nick, once again for being here. And I think we left off with my just truly, truly, sincerely congratulating you and honoring you for what you've gone through, how you've handled it, and your passion for wanting young people especially to truly embrace and value education.
I thank you. But you have to understand, I'm not alone. There was 87 men and women set free last year from wrongful convictions, another 70 this year. This isn't just me as an individual. I represent an overall castigation of a large segment of our population that has been destroyed. And it's a shame if you think about it, but I am going forward a very positive way. And people can find me on my website, nickjayaris.net. And they can see that in a couple of weeks, I'm going to Belgium and I'm going to address over 100 million people at one time for the Cities of Life celebration, in which 1,600 cities across the globe unite on one night to celebrate life, not the death penalty.
That's a movement. And we are definitely an organization that gets behind movements and things of positive change. So I definitely support you in that. And I think it's something that's very needed. And it's great to join different ethnicities and cultures and cities and countries together for something positive. We all hear all this negativity in the news each and every day, but what you're doing is promoting positive change. And we are excited about that. And we thank you for that. Nick, that leads me to another aspect of your new life, if you will. You are dedicating a portion of the proceeds from 7 Days to Live, from your book, to the Cordoza School of Law's Innocence Project. And that's innocenceproject.org, everyone. For those who are taking notes and listening intently here, you need to go over to Innocence, I-N-N-O-C-E-N-C-E, project.org. Nick, can you tell us your association with the Innocence Project and what it's all about?
Well, the Innocence Project has helped, like I said, get so many people out of prison last year, this year, many years in the past. Barry Scheck and Peter Neufeld are two wonderful human beings who created one Innocence Project that has spawned hundreds. So for me, I feel like it's important that I give back. I feel like if I do that, then I'm showing that it wasn't just about getting out, but it's about getting out and having a purpose. And that purpose is making sure that we get more people set free from the indignities that I suffered.
Fantastic. And in your case, if it weren't for DNA testing and the maturity of it, who knows? We may not be here today, Nick, talking to each other. It may have gone the other way.
You said the exact same thing. If not for DNA testing, I would have gotten my wish. I would have been executed for a crime I didn't commit because I was dying of an illness in prison that was robbing me of my dignity. And that is a shameful thing that we have to realize, that the system is truly at times broken and someone has to make a desperate plea like that. It should wake us up.
It should. It absolutely should. So we are thankful for DNA testing, but it doesn't end there. So to your point, Nick, the Innocence Project is extremely necessary. We have a legal system that when it works for us, it's great, but it is flawed. And this project hopefully will help us to do a better job at identifying those who should be locked up and sent away for the crimes they committed. But also we should be able to better recognize those who are innocent, like yourself, Nick. So I thank you for getting behind this project. Again, everyone, it's the Cardoza School of Law's Innocence Project, innocenceproject.org, as well as please, everyone, go over to Nick Yaris's site and make sure that you find out more about Nick and his book and all the great work he's doing. It's www.nickjaris.com. Yaris, YARRIS.NET. Nick, I just can't put into words how grateful I am to you for joining us today, sharing your story, being candid about all the things that you're involved in to help others. And I'm just thankful that you survived and that we're able to have this conversation today.
Well, I'd like to leave you all with one thing. I've made an effort to be positive and loving towards other human beings. And I just got married in 2014. I have a film developed from my first book, a nice script. And I'm living in Los Angeles after 9 years in the United Kingdom. And I have to say, I'm actually proud again to be American.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. And again, Nick, you are just an inspiration because what you've endured and what you've overcome to now have a marriage, a life, enjoying all the liberties and freedoms, the things that we take for granted. If you can do it, there are so many other people that can do it as well and get out of their challenge and their tragic situation. So I thank you for being a champion for that cause.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a good day, Tracy.
Everyone, again, one last time, please get to know more about Nick Yaris. Go over to www.nickjarris.net. Please get a copy of the book, 7 Days to Live. It is powerful, and it will also make you feel very grateful for all the liberties and freedoms that we enjoy each and every day. Please support the Innocence Project, innocenceproject.org, so that we can make sure what happened to Nick does not happen to another individual. We'll be right back after this message.
You are listening to Inside Out with Tracy S. Campbell.
Tracy S. Campbell.
Positive Programming Radio.
Welcome to Nation of Inspiration. I'm Renee Ritchie, and our guest on today's segment is Barb Bailey. Barb will be sharing with us her story about humble beginnings. As a newborn, she was given a second chance when she was found in a cardboard box inside the doors of the Tally Ho Apartments. Today and years later, she's a successful entertainment manager who knows what it's like to experience being a survivor through her own life's journey. Welcome, Barb. So glad to have you on today's show.
Thank you, Renee. It's so good to be here. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's not every day we hear about an infant being left in a cardboard box. So please, tell us more about your story.
Yeah, I mean, I was really one of the lucky ones, Renee, and I'm happy to tell my story on really a lot of levels. I was found in a cardboard box in Wheeling, West Virginia, right inside a 6-flat apartment. And at 6 in the morning, the caretaker opened the door, and there in the foyer, right inside the door, was a baby in a box. In fact, it's still there all these years later, which is really great because I go back sometimes and sit in the foyer, you know, just sort of go back in time, remember and appreciate, because when you're a baby, you don't really, of course, consciously know that you've been left, but you feel something. My birth mother, who left me in the cardboard box, obviously left me because I had freshly washed and folded clothes and a fresh little outfit on, and I was happy, and I had a bottle and a blankie, and so this was not a mother that ever thought about aborting me or putting me in a dumpster. This is a mother that for a week was tormented by whether what she was going to do with this baby, because I'm sure, even though I've never met her, I feel like I know her and what happened.
I'm sure the news of you being found spread very fast.
Yeah, I got a write-up in the paper, if you can imagine that. What happened was the caretaker took me down to the Ohio Valley General Hospital, and I became what's called a ward of the state, which means the state will pay to keep me there for 4 weeks. So in the Wheeling News Register newspaper, there were two articles that ran in that month's period of time about the Tallyho baby.
Do you know if your birth mother ever came back to reclaim you?
Unfortunately, or fortunately, I was not claimed by my mother, and it was the Saturday before the Monday that my 4 weeks were up, and George Bailey and his wife, Lucretia, were at a dinner party for Judge McKee, and they said, so Judge, whatever happened to the Tallyho baby? Did her mother ever come back to claim her? And he said, no, George, unfortunately she hasn't, and Monday we are sending her to the state orphanage in Charleston. And Lucretia looked at George, George looked at her, and they both looked at the judge and said, no, you're not. We want to adopt her. And so apparently they just went into the judge's chambers Monday morning, you know, and down went his gavel and home went the Tallyho babies.
Did being adopted have any effect on how you felt or interacted as a child?
I have to say, when you're a baby that has been abandoned, if you study psychology, you know that you become immediately a survivor in your heart, in your psyche. So even though I knew I was special on my, you know, life growing up with them, I suppose I have to say I tried a little harder to do the right things. And it's just normal because you're so thankful.
Have you ever tried searching to find your birth mother?
You know what, Renee? I mean, the truth is I never really did. I talked about the reality of that happening with Mom, that my true mother, my birth mother, would show up someday. And in my heart of hearts, even to this very moment, my real mother knows that she did a wonderful thing for me. I believe sincerely that she was from the Valley. I hope that I'm right about this, that she kind of stayed in touch with me long distance just to kind of follow me all of these years. I'm hoping that I sense it and I feel it. So where I'm going with this is Mom and I would talk about it, and I would say, well, you know, it's very likely that someday my mom may show up and I will know her.
It sounds like you've always had a connection with her. Deep down inside, do you or have you ever felt angry or ill will towards her?
I owe my life to her for giving me a chance for a real life. And so she will always be in my heart. And my mother, Lou Bailey, I can't believe when I say my mother, Lou Bailey, because I have tears in my eyes when I say this. I mean, I can't imagine that she wasn't my real mother. She was the best mom in the world, and she absolutely agreed that if my mother ever showed up, that there would be enough room in all of our lives to include her.
That's wonderful, Barb. Did your decision to leave Wheeling have anything to do with your humble beginning?
Renee, it wasn't that really too much at all. I knew I wanted to go to a big city because I was born and raised in Wheeling, West Virginia. So I always wanted to live in a bigger city. So therefore, I knew that I would be moving out of West Virginia to go to college. I got my degree in English and minor in music there. I knew that music was always my first love. And so that is what I ultimately have pursued with my life.
Now that you knew that music was your passion and something you wanted to pursue, how did it all begin? What was your real first break or opportunity?
Being a disc jockey on Rush Street at the Hang Up nightclub. The Hang Up is still there as well, and still as popular now as it was then. And I I ran my own shows, you know, and I did this for a good year and a half, year and three quarters, until one of the regulars came up to me and said, Bailey, the way you handle this room, I want you to consider leaving here and coming to work for me. And I said, well, Poppy, what do you do? Because nobody knew what anybody did. They just knew everybody by their first name. And he goes, well, I'm a music producer at Universal Recording Studio. And I said, yeah, right. But you know what? He was a music producer at Universal Recording Studio, and a very famous one. He had just come back from recording with Barbara Streisand and on and on and on. So I said, okay, let me try it, and I never looked back. So my first job was really with Bobby Whiteside at Universal Recording Studio. And it was quite a time. That era was quite an era of my life.
Wow, what a great story. Were you always in Chicago as you continued in your music career?
Yeah, Bobby went to Nashville 5 years later. I went to L.A., ended up working at a Sunset Sound Recording Studio in L.A., and worked there for years. And then I opened my own company, which is Bar Bailey Entertainment. I'm the manager for a lot of singers and musicians, and some I'm the booking agent. A lot of my clients are still in Los Angeles.
What type of clients do you represent?
My youngest client is an opera singer on America's Got Talent, and he's 12, and my oldest singer is 65.
The music business is a very competitive industry, so what keeps you going? What's one of your secrets of being a successful manager?
People that work for me become part of my family, really. I insist on that because of it. This is such a hard business. And I'm out there in the trenches every day, you know, trying to get a record deal for somebody or a television appearance for somebody else and so forth and so on. And if you don't have trust and love and respect between you and your artist, then all that hard work is not worth it.
Yours is truly a story of survival, Barb. So glad to have you on today's segment. With the beginning of what could have been tragic to becoming a successful businesswoman, giving back to others through the good work that you do.
Thank you, Renee.
If our listeners have questions for Barb and would like to reach out to her, you can reach her via her website at barbbaileyentertainment.com, B-A-R-B-B-A-I-L-E-Y entertainment.com. As we end the segment, Barb, will you please share with our listeners one or two of your thoughts for inspiration that we can take with us as we continue through our own life's journey?
When I think about it, that's a loaded question. First of all, never give up on your dreams, and never give up. Don't take no for an answer. If you want something, go after it. And if you don't know how, then, you know, seek the advice of somebody else or others who have done it.
You are listening to Inside Out with Tracy S. Campbell.
Tracy S. Campbell.
Positive Programming Radio.
It is time to tell you what you need to know. And today, what you need to know is all about International Child-Centered Divorce Month. I know that is a mouthful, but the month of January is dedicated to those who are going through a divorce, or maybe you've already gone through a divorce, you're on the other side, but you're still dealing with the challenge of making the transition for your son or daughter an easier one. And of course, it's never easy in a divorce situation. So that's where Rosalind Sadaka comes in. Rosalind is not only one of our incredible experts joining us right here on Inside Out to give us her information, her wealth of information and knowledge and teachings when it comes to dating and relationships, but Rosalind is also the founder of International Child-Centered Divorce Month, which takes place every January. That month is dedicated to giving out information, advice, support, you name it, for those going through the situation of divorce or separation. All you have to do is go to www.divorcedparentsupport.com/ebook. Again, that's divorcedparentsupport.com. support.com/ebook. Go there. Get the free gifts. These gifts are powerful and will truly help you on your road to making this life-changing transition for yourself and especially your child. And Rosalyn is joined by other divorce experts, other counselors that have joined together to offer gifts, to offer support, counseling, whatever you need. You can start right here with www.divorcedparentsupport.com/ebook. Right after this next break, Rosalyn is going to join me in our Talking Expertly segment again to address the questions that you have as it relates to your relationships and hopefully get you on a better path with you and those that are close to you. But in the meantime, again, if you are going through a divorce, please seek out Rosalyn and her team and get the help and advice you need all through the month of January. And you can also access this information on our website, www.TracyCampbell.com. We'll be right back. You are listening to Inside Out with Tracy S. Campbell. Positive Programming Radio.
Are you happy? Do you know what joy feels like? Are you satisfied with your job, your relationship, your life? Well, I'm here to tell you that you can change your life right now. Andre Valeriani's hot new award-winning book, Bootcamp for the Brokenhearted, How to Survive and Be Happy in the Jungle of Love, is entertaining and full of groundbreaking information. Bootcamp for the Brokenhearted will improve how you think about yourself and others. Set and achieve goals. Live your life to the fullest. Find out the keys to changing your life instantly from author, columnist, relationship coach, and board chair of Self-Esteem Boston, Andre Valeriani. Buy the book everyone is talking about. Bootcamp for the Brokenhearted, How to Survive and Be Happy in the Jungle of Love. Available online and in bookstores now. For details, visit www.bootcampforthebrokenhearted.com.
Okay, we need to talk.
Our guest today is Rosalyn Sadaka, who is a divorce and parenting coach as well as a dating and relationship coach. Rosalyn is founder of the Child Centered Divorce Network for Parents, and she is the co-author of 99 Things Women Wish They Knew Before Dating After 40, 50, and yes, even 60. Rosalyn is an expert blogger for the Huffington Post, and she writes articles for numerous websites, blogs, and publications, including Cupid's Pulse, Kids Edge Magazine, Divorce 360, and many others. Today, Rosalyn is here to share important information regarding relationships, divorce, dating, and other life issues. She is definitely a woman who understands the challenges that we all live with every day as we pursue our best life possible. Thank you so much, Rosalyn, for being here with us today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Tracy. Thank you.
Well, it's great. And for those who tuned in to Inside Out Live in our previous episodes, you will know that Rosalyn is a very familiar voice with us. This is not our first time joining us, and she will be a recurring expert. So, Rosalyn, we're so glad to have you as part of the team.
Thank you.
And we're going to get started. We're going to jump right into some great questions that you, the listening audience, has provided to us. And we're going to get started with Jesse. Jesse is from Chicago, Illinois, and Jesse writes, "Hi, I am 24 years old, and I have met a guy that I truly feel is the love of my life. I know we are both young, but I truly feel that he is my soulmate. While his parents are supportive of us moving in together and starting a life together, my parents feel that we're too young to get so serious. I want to have kids, and I do not want to wait until I'm older to have them. How can I get it through to my parents and help them trust my decision in this?"
Well, it sounds like, Jesse, that you're having a big factor in this is the fact that having children is something that you want to do very soon. And that troubles me, because even if this is your Mr. Right, and I certainly hope it is, you want to be together in your relationship for a few years before bringing children into the picture. And I know many women are very eager with the biological clock ticking, to either have children soon after they marry or have children young because they want to do other things when they're older. And that concerns me because too many women rush into a relationship with that in mind and aren't focused on whether they're with the right person.
Yeah, that's so true. And you know, a lot of women, especially when they hit late 20s, early 30s, it becomes a dire need and goal to secure a mate and to have children. Not that we're saying that Jesse should wait until she's 40 or 45 even to start that process, but we definitely want to make sure that she's with the right partner for that process. And that's probably what her parents are feeling as well.
I'm sure that's the case. The truth is, dating is like a honeymoon. It's not real life. And time is the factor that helps us decide if a relationship is really going to work. And that means not just the good times, but time spent when one of you is sick, angry, facing tough times, when you're dealing with losing a job or having an accident or a health crisis. Those are the times when you really see what your partner's true personality is like. And your parents most likely are concerned because they want to protect you and they have the experience and they understand that this can be a costly mistake in your life. So I suggest that you consider taking a relationship course, either online or in person at adult education, at a college. There's so many possible programs and trainings available. Take it with you, Mr. Wright, and see what you learn about one another. How you both answer crucial questions and how you feel about challenging situations in your future, because that's how you really know whether you're ready for a real commitment with this partner or whether this is just a fun guy that you think you want to be with.
I could not agree more, Roz. That is fantastic advice. And Jesse, if you are listening, I hope that you truly understand where we're coming from. We just want to make sure that you are truly educated about your decision to have a future with this young man and even the decision to move in, which is a major one. Make sure that he truly is the partner that you think that he is. So thank you, Jesse, for that question. We're going to move right into Laverne. Laverne is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and she writes, how can you tell if a guy is truly over his ex-wife or not? The guy I'm seeing has been divorced for over 2 years. I have never been married. He says that he is ready to move forward, but there are times when he still talks about how much he loved his wife and how he truly thought that they would be married forever. At this point, I'm not really sure if he is truly over her.
Well, that's a good point, Laverne, and I suggest that you start by trusting your gut feelings. If he's your life partner, then you should be able to talk to him comfortably and ask him in-depth questions about both of you asking each other questions that are important. Ask him how he feels about his former wife and listen carefully. Tell him about your concerns looking towards the future with him and listen to what he says, as well as watching his body language, how he says it, his facial expressions, eye contact, all of those things, because communication is about much more than exactly what we say. The way we say it, how we say it, the intonations in our voice, the way we look, all of that expresses what's really going on. And if you're not completely comfortable after that conversation, I suggest that you both see a coach or a therapist to discuss your concerns with an impartial third party listening, because they're trained to clarify things for you. And his response in those communications may give you a good final answer to this question.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that she's already having fears and doubts, there's definitely something already, not just in probably what he says, but probably how he says it, that's making Laverne pause here and have some concerns. So I think that's great advice, Roz. Laverne, again, if you're listening, I hope that you understand that you really do need to pay close attention to his physical cues as well as what he's saying in order to get to the real answer. And we hope that you take Roz's advice to heart. Roz, as always, you give us great food for thought. So I thank you again for joining us here today.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
And Roz, before you leave us, what overarching prescription, if you will, do you want to leave with all of us based on what we talked about today?
Well, communication is the most important part of any relationship, regardless of your age. And learning good communication skills, ways of expressing yourself clearly and good listening skills is going to make a huge difference in the success of any relationship in your life, whether it's with a loved one or family members or even in career.
Fantastic. And Roz, for those who are listening that have really benefited from this conversation today, how can they get in touch with you directly to learn all about the great things that you do through your practice, through your products? How can they connect with you?
Well, I have a couple of websites, and I do personal one-on-one telephone coaching as well. I have an excellent program called Women Dating After 40, which is a Create Your Ideal Relationship Kit that has several components that we've just touched on today that would be really valuable. And I also have a men's program called mensdatingformula.com. At that, mensdatingformula.com is the website, and the name of it is Mastering the Challenges of Dating, a Success Formula for Men. So those programs would be really valuable in helping you understand a lot of the dynamics of what creates a successful relationship.
Fantastic. Well, folks, I hope that you will head over to Rosalind's websites so that you can get plugged in to her products, to her services, so that you can have the best relationships possible. Thank you once again, Roz, for joining us here today.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to be right back after this quick message.
You are listening to Inside Out with Tracy S. Campbell. Tracy S. Campbell. Positive Programming Radio. Ladies, are you tired of magazines telling you what you must do in order to be beautiful? Is there a woman that you know deserves to be recognized for all that she does for others? If you've answered yes to these questions, then the Beauty In, Beauty Out Tour is right for you. To find out more about this fun, inspiring, and life-changing tour, and to nominate the superwoman in your life, go to www.beautyinbeautyouttour.com. Again, that's www.beautyinbeautyouttour.com. And follow us on Twitter at BIBO Tour. The Beauty In, Beauty Out Tour, celebrating and nurturing the beauty already within you.
We are back, and we are also at the end of another episode of Inside Out with Tracy S. Campbell this week. Thank you so much for joining us once again. And I want to thank Nick Yaris. Nick, thank you so much for sharing your compelling story of struggle, survival, and coming out on the other side to now give hope and encouragement to young people as well as to other folks who were wrongfully accused of crimes as well. Everyone, please go over to www.nickjyarris.net. That's NickJyarris.net. And grab a copy of his book, 7 Days to Live. It truly is a compelling and amazing story. And also, please support the Innocence Project. That's www.innocenceproject.org, and help to prevent stories like Nick's story from happening again. I also want to thank Renee Ritchie in our Nation of Inspiration segment. Thank you so much, Renee, for bringing Barb Bailey to us this week. Barb, thank you for sharing your story of inspiration and encouragement from your own life, going from being an orphan to now a very successful entertainment agent. If you want to know more about Barb Bailey, go to www.barbbailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, entertainment.com. And I want to thank Rosalind Sadaka, our expert this week, not only for the great advice that she gave us on relationships and dating, but also Rosalind is indeed the backbone, the founder of the International Child-Centered Divorce Month Initiative, which is happening this whole month of January. So please go to our website, www.tracycampbell.com, or go directly to www.divorcedparentsupport.com/ebook. Again, that's www.divorcedparentsupport.com/ebook, and get the information that you or someone very close to you may need as they try to get through the challenging situation of divorce, and especially as we try to make sure our young teens and children also are able to get the help and support they need through the issue of divorce. Thank you so much, Rosalyn, for being here with us today. And you can follow us on social media. Please get connected to us. There's a lot of great things going on with our Beauty and Beauty Out Tour, our Champ Community Project organization, and the Champ Within program, as well as more great people joining us right here on Inside Out. So follow us on Twitter at BIBOTour, at TRACIS Campbell, or at Champ Within. And for those who are on Facebook, we're at Beauty and Beauty Out Tour, and we're also at TSC Media Updates. We're going to be back next week with more compelling stories, great guests, and of course, great expert advice. But in the meantime, have a great week, a productive week, but most of all, please have a very blessed week. Talk to you soon.